Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
All right, David, let's start with your woke update of the week here. This is just kind of a funny side one here.
It's a little bit of a woke update, but it's also a little bit of a jab at both Aaron Flint and I guess the Montana legislature, too. But here's the story.
Or John Jackson, the Joker from X, because we were both joking the other day. They're like, every time we see a cyclist wearing fancy, you know, biker shorts and a fancy little jersey, we're like, hey, I think that's David Noble.
Oh, I heard that.
False alarm.
Yeah. I heard that. And I was gonna remind you guys that that's ridiculous, because you should know that when I ride bike, I ride with my shirt off so I can get sun, because sun is good for you. It gives you vitamins. We don't get enough sun, and right?
Well, come on. No, you're supposed to get the jab, stay inside, don't exercise, don't get sun, don't get your vitamins, and dang sure don't take ivermectin. I mean, that's what Gavin Newsom taught America. That's what Dr. Fauci taught America. So what are you doing getting sunshine out there?
Right. Here it is. Montana House Bill 588 gives motorized scooters the same roadway rights as mopeds and bicycles. Motorized scooters are now specifically regulated mode of transportation in Montana, signed into law last week. This is HB 588 by Neil Durham, a Republican from Eureka, defines motor scooters and adds safety regs for users. Motorized scooters now have the same rights on the roadway as a cyclist. And I guess that raises the question of what rights to the roadway does a cyclist have? Because right now the law says that a motorized scooter and a moped do four-wheelers have full and side-by-sides? Because, you know, we see a lot of those. Frankly, here's the deal.
Yeah, I thought scooters already had those rights. I mean, you see people driving them around. It's like you can drive on the road just like a car or a motorcycle can. So what maybe the bicycle thing is like, if you want to identify, if you're a scooter that wants to identify as a bicycle, like you get to identify as a bicycle now.
I'm a bicyclist and I want to identify as a car?
Well, that's what those guys do. Have you been in Missoula? Those guys are nuts. Those guys are crazy. They're bike fascists. They are crazy. And even still, they don't have a ton of people using bike lanes in Missoula, of all places. But, boy, they like to waste a lot of space. They like to waste a lot of time creating these bike lanes. And then hardly any of them even use them. But, boy, they are just nuts when they drive around. And, no, they think they have more rights than the cars do. And it's like, dude, if you want to cross the road with your bike, the law says you're supposed to get off your bike and walk it across. But they think they can just burn across without even stopping and then flip you off like you're the jerk, you know.
What, so now you're the legal expert on bicycle standards?
I'm going to charge you by the hour. I'm going to charge you Held v. Montana
rates.
Since
when are bicycles supposed to... Yeah. Wow. So, but that's interesting, because here's my view of it. Frankly, growing up in Montana, and I always sort of thought, hey, this is a free state. If I want to hop on my brother's motorcycle or dirt bike and cruise around on the streets of Manhattan, I should be able to. I don't want to have to go. And I'm 12 years old.
And you probably were able to. Nobody cared in Manhattan.
Yeah,
like, oh, cool. Look at the
12,
kids.
Yeah, 12 years old, I was on the dirt bike cruising around the streets. No idea if that was legal or not, but it should be.
Hey, 80s and 90s kids, how did we survive, right? Because we ran the streets when we were kids in Manhattan, Glasgow. That's just how we grew up.
You could always tell where everybody was because all the bikes out in the front yard.
That's right.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Sometimes media stories are just weird. Wired magazine reports that former staffers for Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace are claiming that they had to make burner accounts so they could boost her online image and fight with critics. These ex-staffers said they set up these accounts on a variety of social media platforms to monitor what people were saying, and that she would encourage them to create their own personal burner accounts so they could defend her against critics. But all the sources are unnamed. We had to reply to comments saying things that weren't true, even on Reddit forums, said one ex-employees. Now, the problem with this story is, a spokeswoman for the congresswoman says, this isn't true. It would be a slap in the face to taxpayers for me to spend time on their dime commenting on my boss's personal life, says the communications director. So what do you believe? With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny conditions across the area throughout the day today, high temperatures will stay up in the lower 80s. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, we'll see low temperature readings ranging from around 53 in Bozeman to 57 in Billings. And then the outlook for Friday calls for more sunshine, highs in the mid-70s in Bozeman to the low 80s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, David, so you've heard about this SAM plan. The Democrats are spending 20-some million dollars trying to figure out how to speak with American men. And I've already talked at length about that one, but the Washington Post apparently is helping them out. The Washington Post wants to help out the Democrats. So the Washington Post has now come up with a list of the words that the Democrats should no longer say.
So here's some of the words that the Washington Post points to in terms of words that the Democrats should probably ditch. Oligarchs being one of them, food insecurity another, equity, intersectionality. People say I'm intersectional. I'm not quite sure what that means. Latinx, which even Latinas and Latinos hate, and gender fluid.
Yeah, I'm reminded of that Mean Girls line, stop trying to make fetch happen. Stop trying to make that garbage happen. I don't even know what it means. But look, there is a brain rot going on in the Democratic Party, and it was sort of highlighted by that first article that AOC and Bernie think they need to double down on it. And not move away from it. And let's be honest with it. Half of these words were created by what predominantly white people at liberal arts universities across the country. They don't speak to the normal people. And that might play well at cocktail parties on Martha's Vineyard. It doesn't play really well in the real world. But it's brought to you by the same intelligentsia that told us that Tim Walz could appeal to men the same way that Donald Trump from Jamaica, Queens could.
All right, anyway, yeah, that was from Fox News yesterday. But, yeah, it's basically like a compilation of some of our greatest woke updates right of the week right there, the greatest hits.
That's hilarious, although they missed some. I mean, where's Latinx?
Oh, they said Latinx.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah.
Where's unhoused?
They did not have unhoused in there, yeah.
Because isn't unhoused, I mean, or niblets, or are you diverse? That's the hilarious thing, like these they're joking about how they don't know what intersectional means. Here, I'll tell you. If you're intersectional, that means you're not a white guy. And the same thing with, like, diverse. Are you diverse? Oh, we have a diverse individual, or we're looking to hire a diverse individual. I've always just thought that was so weird and off-putting. It's like, wait, so you literally categorize people as either they're diverse or they're not diverse based on their skin color and their race and their sex. I just find that so off-putting. And obviously, a lot of Americans find that very off-putting, too. But Aaron, I guess you would be considered not diverse.
Yeah, yeah, which is cool with me, yeah. Because my response is, what universe are these people living in, right? Yeah, and then, of course, you had a Christian group gathering in Seattle. They were, you know, doing worship music, Christian songs. They were giving out, I think food for kids and things like that in this neighborhood. And they got attacked by the woke Antifa LGBTQ mob. So apparently the people that preach about diversity really don't want diversity.
It's classic. It's classic. It's like these people that will post or say stuff like, everybody, we welcome everybody. Everybody's welcome here. And you say, hey, I'm a conservative Christian white man. You're not welcome. No, you're a big, we don't like Nazis. We don't like Nazis. It's like, wait, I thought you said you guys welcomed everybody. But they don't. They don't welcome everybody. They claim to welcome everybody, but they don't.
Yeah. All right. Lots to talk about here this morning. First off, David, do you have anything you want to talk about before we got through the woke update of the week? But anything else you want to cover? Because, man, I got too much to talk about, I feel like, this morning.
Well, the main thing that I've been just, I mean, I finished that book, The Crazy Mountain, or The Crazy Mountains by Amory Gamerman, and I've been just thinking about that nonstop because it's just so wildly interesting to me, the whole history there. And you know, the Clovis child, do you remember the Clovis child? A private rancher, landowner found literally like one of the oldest, yeah. It's literally the oldest human remains ever found in the Americas. It was the Anzac family.
North of Livingston, I think, right?
Yeah, right around there.
Around there? Yeah,
around the Crazy Mountains, and they talk about that. And so that's been sort of the thing I've been thinking about a lot. You know, I used to not read a ton of books right after sort of law school. I kind of spend all day reading. But now I'm getting back into it, and I'm kind of been reading a ton lately and polished off that book in like two or three sittings. But the fact that the Democrats want to do industrial wind development in the Crazy Mountains and in our mountains and in our beautiful areas in Montana, and then turn around and accuse Republicans of being against. And it's like, here's the deal. It's like, yeah, we do support Black Butte Copper Mine. But guess what? Black Butte Copper Mine's not going to involve a bunch of 500-foot-tall, noisy, you know, full of light things in the Crazy Mountains.
Yeah.
Like, we want reasonable development that does not destroy everything that we value about this state, right? Like, I just can't get over the fact that these Democrats don't want to put up windmills and solar panels over all of our beautiful land.
And by the way, we need the copper from the Black Butte Copper Mine as well. Electric vehicles use four times the amount of copper that your normal, your typical, you know, gas-fueled vehicles would use. And so we need more copper. But the very same people who lectured us about electric vehicles and how important those supposedly want to block the very copper that those vehicles use. But then again, those environmental hypocrites have been fully exposed, especially with their attacks on Elon Musk and blowing up and firebombing Tesla dealerships. I think a former CNN analyst just got his Tesla vandalized as well. That was in the news. But yeah, Elon Musk is back in the news this week because he is now leaving his semi-government job to go full-time back to Tesla now. But
right, which the media is totally twisting that and acting as if, oh my gosh, this was unexpected and Elon Musk quit and blah, blah. It's like, no, he was always going to leave after 90 days because he could only be a quote-unquote special government employee for us. So this was all planned and they're portraying it differently.
And they're trying to say, oh, Elon Musk had a big break with Donald Trump and Elon Musk is mad at the Republicans. No, Elon Musk is making some good points about the need for more spending cuts. And House Republicans are now working on that very thing. They're rolling out their rescissions package, big picture stuff right now as we speak.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Is the global savings glut over? That's a question most of you might not be able to answer simply because it's the first time you've ever heard the phrase. Yet the pre-COVID string of years with very low interest rates were caused by an excess of savings around the world and the hearty appetite of investors for government debt. Both these enabled governments everywhere, and especially in the U.S., to borrow very cheaply. But there are increasing signs that this era is over. The dollar is getting weaker and the yield on new government bonds has pushed past 5%. It's not a panic, but it's a new reality that very few in leadership are acknowledging. It means that the cost of borrowing has gone up, and countries like the U.S. that are sailing into the future with budget deficits equaling 7% of GDP are highly exposed. Interest payments on debt are already approaching $1 trillion, exceeding what we spend on defense. When will we pay attention? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. A study looks into the mental and physical health of American mothers, and the results are causing some concern. It found the mental health of moms with children 17 and under significantly dropped from 2016 to 2023. Researchers examining data from nearly 200,000 mothers who took part in the National Survey of Children's Health. They found mothers who reported having excellent mental health declined nearly 13%. While those who chose fair or poor rose 3% in that period. The study also found mothers who rated their physical health as excellent declined about 4%. Researchers suggest limited access to care, social isolation, and rising substance use disorders may be contributing to the decline. Dads also showed declines in physical health, but had better results than moms. The study was published in the JAMA Internal Medicine Tuesday. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Today, the Montana Stock Growers Association's mid-year meeting kicks off in Butte, America. Phillips County rancher Leslie Robinson is president of the stock growers.
So our mid-year meeting, we try to move it around the state, so it's great to be here in Butte. This is a beautiful facility, glad to be here. And we, our mid-year meeting is when we have our interim policy that's created. So we have our committee meetings and our general sessions with speakers. And it's just a great time to interact with people and network with people from around the state.
Attendees will hear from featured expert speakers on weather, markets, policy, and ag research, along with Stock Growers Producer Profitability Initiative to keep ranchers ranching.
It's important. It's the most important thing. We have to keep the ranchers on the ground in production, keep the land in production. And we went as an executive committee to D.C. a couple months ago to talk about just what you were talking about. And I have gone to D.C. three times this year. And every time our message is we need to renew the tax bill that is going to sunset at the end of this year. So in the reconciliation bill is a lot of the things that we've been asking for. And I think that was the top thing that was talked about at our producer profitability meetings.
From Butte, I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, so we're talking about Elon Musk. Yeah, this has always been scheduled that he was going to go do his service to our country, leading the DOGE efforts to identify the fraud, waste, and abuse in our federal government. And then he was going to go right back to Tesla. But, of course, you know, the fake news media is trying to say, oh, he's having this big split with Donald Trump. Here is Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz. He was on with Hannity last night talking about, you know, and Hannity had kind of teed it up by saying, look, this guy serves his country. He's helping save this country from this staggering debt facing America and this $2 trillion deficit. And for that, he gets nonstop death threats, attacks, domestic terrorist attacks on his Tesla dealerships, and more.
Well, listen, the left's reaction to Elon Musk shows what utter hypocrites they are. You know, we've seen for the better part of a decade the left screaming that climate change is going to end humanity and nothing matters more than stopping the internal combustion engine and moving to electric vehicles. Elon Musk started what became the largest electric vehicle manufacturer in the world, Tesla. And 5 years ago, Elon was a hero to the left. And then he had the temerity to actually speak the truth, to support Donald Trump, to speak up against the madness of open borders, to speak up against the insanity of men and women's sports, to speak up against the woke mind virus. And the left decided he was Adolf Hitler. He was the embodiment of evil. They're engaged in domestic terrorism against him. What you said is exactly right. I think the American people ought to be saying to Elon, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, well said there by Texas Senator Ted Cruz. David, your thoughts.
Okay, so when I first sort of like understood what DOGE was doing, I had a thought, which was, this is going to be very important in several years from now. So, for example, one of the things that DOGE did is they created this thing where every single payment that goes out from the Treasury has to be categorized by a particular code, and there has to be a memo line about what that payment is for. DOGE and Elon Musk had said, it's insane, but in the federal government, in the U.S. Treasury, they're sending out payments, and they're not coded. We can't tell what the payment's for. There's no memo line. There's no anything for it. So I realized, like, wow. Okay, so if that's not happening, then that actually makes it more difficult for us to do audits or to look back to see what happened. And so let's say DOGE, boom. Okay, from now forward, we're doing all categorization of all payments going out. Well, that's only going to become really super important and relevant maybe a year from now, maybe 2 years from now, when we have now we've got a year or two or 3 years worth of data of all the Treasury payments going out where they've actually categorized it and coded it. That's when we're going to be able to do change. We say, okay, wow, so DOGE implemented this system where we actually categorize these payments. Now it's been a couple of years, and we see what's going on, and we've done some analysis on it. Now we can do something. And so, but then Elon Musk, when he tweeted and said, hey, like, as planned, you know, my time at DOGE is coming to an end, and he said in his tweet, the Doge team will, and their impact will only grow and get stronger as this becomes a way of life for the government. So I think a lot of what Elon Musk and Doge has done is stuff like that, that we're going to just see dividends and dividends down
That's
the road.
That's a great point, this transparency, because, yeah, the House Republicans had talked about this. Stephen Miller had pointed this out as well, because House Republicans would get criticized even from some of our fellow conservatives. Well, why are you guys funding this? And it's like, no, they didn't fund sex changes in Guatemala. They might have funded the State Department or this or that, but it was the Biden regime that then took that money and carved it out and gave money for sex changes in Guatemala. But now, like you say, they put a permanent spotlight on this spending that's going on in these agencies. The big, beautiful bill, you know, one of the early on criticisms was, well, it doesn't codify the Doge cuts. Stephen Miller, a White House Deputy Chief of Staff, explained very well how, well, yes, it doesn't codify all of the Doge cuts because you can't do that with a reconciliation bill. That needs to come in a rescission package. The point of a reconciliation bill is we can get all these big, beautiful things rolled into one package that only needs a 51-vote majority in the United States Senate to get past the United States Senate, and then you avoid the filibuster rule. He also said this about one big, beautiful bill.
Under President Trump's leadership, we are looking to set a goal of a minimum of 3,000 arrests for ICE every day, and President Trump is going to keep pushing to get that number up higher each and every single day so we can get all of the Biden illegals that were flooded into our country for 4 years out of our country. And we can't take the risk of letting these Biden illegals roam around freely so that the next American daughter can get raped, the next American kid can get murdered, the next American family can get splintered and torn apart by people that came into this country unchecked, uncontrolled, unvetted, uninvited by the American people.
All right, and then there's more from Stephen Miller. Maybe I'll share the second half of that soundbite coming up later on in the 8 o'clock hour of this show. So a lot of good things in this big, beautiful bill, but I think, David, we all agree we also want to see these spending cuts codified as well.
Well, yeah, it's like, look, if you guys have to do a rescissions package or an appropriations bill or whatever, well, just do it, please.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I've got more audio where they're talking about what's already starting to be identified for those rescission packages. So step by step, here we go. Story on our Montana Talks website yet. I'm going to talk more about that later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. But, yeah, PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA is prepping an attack on downtown Billings restaurants today. Around the noon lunch hour, but PETA just got smoked in Great Falls. They tried to target a barbecue joint in Great Falls, and the public showed up with massive support for the smoked American barbecue in Great Falls. So will downtown Billings show up in support of your downtown restaurants later today to stand up to the PETA wacktivists? Yeah, we'll talk more about that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Let's see, David Noble. Old flip-flop flat top is back in the news. I tagged you on some tweets earlier this morning. John Tester kept saying, hey, you know, if after I lost the Senate race, well, I'll probably just go back to the farm. We called BS on that one. What a fake phony talking
point. Oh, my
gosh.
Oh, I'm so glad you just reminded me of that, because now that reminds me when I talked to some of my Democrat friends here in Montana today, who I remember who expressly told me and specifically told me, oh, no, John Tester's a true Montana. He'll go back to the farm. And so I'm going to have to follow up with them on that one today and just follow up on that. By the way, we are taking phone calls, right?
Oh, yeah.
406.
Yep. 294-09. And that, there the light goes flashing. 294-097 if you want to jump in on the conversation. The big voice guy will tell people to call in and tell them the numbers.
Oh, so you're not doing it as much.
But I try to do it a little more often too. So yeah, just to remind, because that's the best part of the show. Yeah.
So Marco Rubio is doing such a good job that quick here before we get to the caller. Marco Rubio is doing this thing where they're going to start revoking all of these Chinese students' visas who have ties to the CCP. And I'm sitting there, wait, why are we just now revoking visas of people with ties to the CCP? How did anybody with ties to the CCP get a visa in the first place. That's kind
of... Oh, you know how.
Yeah. The Biden administration, maybe?
Let's just say there's an art behind it. A Hunter Biden art behind the whole deal.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So the flip-flop... Caden answered the phone. He said it was just a dude shouting, huh? So, I don't know if somebody called in and they couldn't hear or whatever. Who knows? But anyway, 294-0970 if you want to jump in on the conversation. But I sent out a post on X earlier this morning. A super-sized, super-PAC hypocrite. Brock Lawrence, who is a brilliant conservative campaign operative, consultant, whatever his title is. Anti-super PAC politicians who lose an election in Montana only to then afterwards go ahead and get on the payroll to rep a super PAC. Seems to be a trend. You know, Bullock railed against super PACs as governor, and now he runs a super PAC. John Tester, that fake phony flip-flop flat top, now he's on the payroll for Joe Biden's super PAC. Hold that thought.
Military Matters.
In an attempt to both cut spending and appeal to military families, the Defense Department is directing each military service to find ways to make service members relocate less for their jobs. This will create more stability for families while saving money for the Defense Department. Right now, the Pentagon spends $5 billion each year on moving military personnel and their families to different assignments. The Defense Department is now looking to cut this in half over the next 5 years. The Army, Navy, and Air Force secretaries have 120 days to get back to the Defense Department with recommendations for how to both cheapen these relocations and make less service members relocate. Some see this announcement as a win for service members who have complained about the lack of jobs for their spouses, childcare for their children, and reimbursements for moving expenses. But critics worry that service members who are single could be prioritized for promotions since it is cheaper for them to relocate. For Military Matters in the Pentagon, Liz Frieden, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so this post on X from Brock Lawrence, grew up in Helena, Montana, and he was really a part of that team that helped President Donald J. Trump and Senator Steve Daines as the chair of the National Republican Senatorial Committee win back Republican control of the United States Senate. And by the way, the other thing Ted Cruz said in that same Hannity segment last night is he thinks that we can actually get a more conservative version of the One Big Beautiful Bill out of the Senate than even out of the House. I mean, my, how the tables have turned in the United States Senate on that front.
Yeah, that's absolutely shocking, and if so, you know, great. But of course, the problem is, and I think Donald Trump will tell you this too, is you've got to get the votes, right? And Donald Trump was asked at a press conference yesterday about, you know, hey, you know, some people are upset with some of the spending in this bill, and he said, look, you've got to get a majority of votes in the House, and when you've got the Democrats won't vote for it, period, right? No matter what you give them, and so then that means you've got to get all the Republican votes, right? And getting all of the Republican votes means you've also got to get the Republican votes from maybe some more moderate districts, more
squishy
moderate Republicans.
Murkowski's, Susan Collins.
And
types.
So it's the political, I kind of view it as this is the political reality we're dealing with in terms of what we have in Congress and what we have in the Senate. I think Trump is getting kind of the best type of thing he can. Now, in my opinion, I would love to see extremely draconian federal cuts of $2 trillion a year in spending, so we'd have a balanced budget. Now, that's what I would prefer, and so, of course, you know, I'm not happy. Now, I do believe that we need more spending on border security and deportations. I fully support, you know, appropriating hundreds of billions of dollars to the Trump administration to use that money on deportations and everything like that. Like, that's money well spent. Notice how I'm not calling an investment. We're going to invest in deportations. Has anybody ever said we're going to invest in deportations?
That's hilarious.
What about pet peeves, though?
Yeah, whenever the Democrats call more government spending, or even some Republicans call it investments, the government doesn't invest, it takes.
Right. there is some investing done by the state at the Board of Investment where they've got pension funds where they actually do buy stocks. But an investment is something where you expect a return on your money. You know, spending government money on government spending, there's no return on that. It's not an investment. But I like the idea of we're investing in deportations.
So back to the supersized super PAC hypocrite here, flip-flop flat top John Tester. So according to Politico, he is joining Unite the Country as a senior advisor. A tipster just told me that apparently Unite the Country, the left-wing super PAC, it's Joe Biden's super PAC. So John Tester was lying about Joe Biden's mental, cognitive capabilities, lying about Joe Biden's health,
Maybe this is the payment for that.
Now he's getting paid off for propping up Biden, lying about Biden, and then basically being a blank check for Joe Biden's open borders agenda and so much more. Yeah,
hey,
good point.
Did PETA ever go after John Tester for all the meat that he likes to eat and all that Montana beef that he was allegedly having shipped to D.C.? Remember when he used to say that he was having Montana beef shipped to D.C.?
Well, he left that behind. He's got the bistro cacao now to keep him full, so he doesn't need to, do the phony, I haul a cooler to D.C. Oh, BS, man. Get out of here.
So today's a good day to go down to maybe Jake's and get a steak. Maybe go to Hooligan's. The new Smash Burgers there are fantastic. Get some great day to buy beef in downtown Billings, though.
Yeah, beef, pork, chicken, whatever, enjoy it all in downtown Billings. Stand up to PETA. The Downtown Billings Association, they should be having a field day with this story right now and generating support for downtown Billings businesses. But sometimes they lean a little left. So I don't know what their current leadership is like. But, sometimes they've leaned a little left in the past. But, man, they could use this as a downtown Billings restaurant boom with PETA coming in during the lunch hour. But, the city of Billings, unfortunately, the city just leans too far left. I don't think they'll capitalize on it like they otherwise could.
Yeah, so are we going to get a – can we get a smoked here in Billings?
That seems like a cool outfit.
Sounds like a great restaurant.
There's so many great barbecue joints in Billings, though, man, I tell you what. Let's see. Oh, another thing on Tester here. So, yeah, the supersized super PAC hypocrite. He told everybody, I'm just going to go back to the farm. He got the MSNBC contributor job.
Right.
Yeah, again, you're not a moderate, you fake phony. And then now he's cashing in with a super PAC gig. This is exactly the type of stuff we knew the guy was going to do. But look at the liberal Montana media that just slobbered over this guy for how many years. And they ran with the fake phony storyline, just like the liberal media covered for Joe Biden.
Well, and it's like, why would you want... Let's say you're MSNBC, or let's say you're actually a legitimate nonprofit. Why would you want somebody like John Tester, who clearly is out of touch with the people of Montana, who clearly doesn't know what the people of Montana want or like? Why would you want his opinion? He just lost, and the whole history of his entire career shows that when he did win, it was only by lying about who he really was. So why would you want sort of a phony fraudster loser as your commentator?
But one more thing, I think you'll appreciate this, because you made a great point during the election year about John Tester. Is like, okay, let me, before I get to your point, okay, Politico wrote an article yesterday, Democrats need a shadow cabinet. There are 21 unexpected heavy hitters who should fill it. So Politico's saying the Democrats need a shadow cabinet basically to try to troll the Trump administration. So they've said, here's who the Democrat heavy hitters could be. And maybe they just thought because he's the supersized super PAC hypocrite. But they said that John Tester could be the shadow interior secretary, which oversees our BLM, Park Service, public lands, whatever you want to call them. And you made the point last year, John Tester is not an outdoors guy.
Right.
When has John Tester ever gone on a hike? When has he ever killed? There we go. Yeah. When has John Tester ever gone on a hike? That was the beep I was referring to there. So
does he even have a camper? Does he ever go camping?
Has he ever gone camping? Does he ever? We know he claimed to be an outdoorsman by wearing carrying a gun and then wearing an orange vest in one of his campaign commercials. And then it got exposed that for like 12 or 16 years, he never even had a hunting and a fishing license. He doesn't hunt. He doesn't fish. He doesn't hike. He doesn't camp. Why in the world would they think he would be a good shadow interior secretary? Just because he's a radical environmentalist that wants to shut off all of our access?
Here's why. Because the Democrats are obsessed with looks, and they're all about looks. And John Tester looks like a dirt farmer, right? And so and he's from Montana, allegedly, or he used to be. That's all it is. It's like, yeah, this guy doesn't know it. Like,
optics. Yeah. Phony stuff.
What does he, did he ever, like, say or do anything about public lands or BLM land or making sure our ranchers could get their leases done right? I don't remember him focusing on that one bit, than to say the phony stuff.
He focused on putting his eco-terrorist buddy, Tracy Stone Manning, as the head of the BLM.
Which was
Who then gave perks to the APR to kick our ranchers off the land. My goodness. And it's important that we still talk about this because, our predictions are coming true. B, people need to be reminded you're going to have another fake, phony, pretend moderate Democrat come up and pretend to be something they aren't. And some of you who still identify as Democrats, despite the train wreck that party has become, you desperately will want to believe it. You will desperately want to think that the Democrat Party isn't lost. It ain't happening, folks. They're lost. Don't believe the lies of the next fake, phony moderate.
It's the same thing with pointing out the media bias to the left, whether it's AP or the TV stations or anything like that. There was sort of a period there where kind of I thought everybody already knows that, and you sort of started to see people sort of say, like, hey, you know, everybody knows the media is left wing. Like, we don't want to hear that from conservative commentators like me or you or anything like that. But then sort of it came back around and everybody was like, wow, actually, no, we still need to highlight that because there's still a lot of Americans that don't realize that the AP, Reuters, the New York Times, all these ABC, CBS, all of those things are liars.
They're every day trying to undermine Team Trump and Team America. Let's go to Clint in Bozeman on the phone lines. Clint, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
I got one simple question to ask you. I'm not a computer guy. At all. My wife is, but I'm not. I would like to ask you if you could find out on your computer what's the gross amount of money that the United States takes in 1 year and the gross amount of money that they spend every year. I would like to know how much money this country takes in import taxes and various different taxes like on us. And I think the whole country would like to know that. And you're a smart guy on that computer, Aaron. And I'd like to have you look it up and kind of and maybe could tell us.
I think David's smarter on the computer than I am here. But no, Clint, I appreciate the phone call. What I think Clint wants, which is what I think would be great to get to, is, okay, let's combine it all. Local, city, county, property in the states where they have sales taxes, state income taxes, federal income taxes. But just when it comes to our own federal government alone, I've got an answer for you there. I'll give Clint's answer right after this.
Ah, smart water. Now in a sleek can.
This feels cool, literally.
Perfect for social gatherings and on the go.
Should I start wearing turtlenecks?
One sip at a time, friend. Smart water cans, for those with a taste for taste. Get yours today.
Fox News commentary.
President Trump is tightening the screws on California over the state's failure to protect women's sports. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
When President Trump signed his executive order protecting women and girls in sports, he was not playing around. California and its Governor Gavin Newsom apparently didn't get that memo or didn't care, but they're likely about to, because President Trump announced in a lengthy post to Truth Social that he will withhold federal funding to the state if they don't take action to protect the integrity of women's sports. The president also provided the example of the biological male track athlete that recently crushed female athletes in track and field events in Riverside County. This particular track trans athlete is currently ranked number one in the state for triple jump. I wonder why. This is a story that is becoming far too common, and the Trump administration will not stand for it. Protect women and women's sports, or else, California. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, taking a look at the next steps for the Senate on the big, beautiful bill. We'll see how that's going and what kind of changes could be made. Also, Trump's fight against the woke universities. We'll get into how that is going to change the higher education landscape and how it is just one of many fights that Trump is winning. We'll talk about it on Clay and Buck.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny conditions across the area throughout the day today, high temperatures will stay up in the lower 80s. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, we'll see low temperature readings ranging from around 53 in Bozeman to 57 in Billings. And then the outlook for Friday calls for more sunshine, highs in the mid-70s in Bozeman to the low 80s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Hey, have you heard about the incredible history behind the Gideon Bibles and how they first got started right here in Montana? Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. You got to go check out this story that we shared. It's written by Lawrence Reed, President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. He talks about how the Gideons got their start by donating Bibles to a hotel in Superior, Montana, and now two.
Free bottles are limited, so call 800-680-9415. That's 800-680-9415.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, real quick, before we jump back into it here with David Doble, I got to let our friends in the Bozeman area know if you're in Three Forks, Belgrade, Livingston, you name it, or maybe if you just want to drive in, drive over for the show, our friends at Brett's RV and Marine, they're doing the big Gallatin County RV and Boat Show this week as we speak. So if you thought you missed it last weekend, you can still get down there and check it out. Check out all the campers. Check out all the boats. You know, Brett's RV and Marine, they've got the largest inventory in a five-state region, and they're Montana family-owned. In fact, my wife went to high school with one of the Brett's brothers. And then, of course, you know, Dustin's a great guy if you haven't gotten to meet him. But they just got a great crew all around. I was just down picking up some fishing lures from Jeff at the Billings Brett's RV location. He knows where all the good fishing spots are at. But, yeah, whether you drop in and see Brett's RV in Billings or Butte or Missoula, or, hey, right now, check out the RV and Boat Show taking place at the Gallatin County Fairgrounds. David, I wanted to share this audio with you if you hadn't seen this story already. CNN interviewed an Israeli. This guy was held hostage by the Hamas terrorists in Gaza. And this freed hostage who has now been freed, he talked about his conversations with his captors. He talked about talking with the Hamas terrorists that held him captive. Listen to what he told CNN.
They talked about something that I've never heard a hostage talk about, which is discussion of politics while in captivity with the captors. Take a listen.
They were very scared of him. Yeah, they wanted...
Who?
The terrorists.
We're afraid of Trump.
Yeah, they wanted Kamala to be chosen to be elected.
You talked politics with them?
Yeah. They wanted Kamala to be elected. When Trump became president, yeah, the way they treated us changed for me personally. This is what I
think. Because they anticipated that a deal would come soon.
Yeah.
And that's when they started giving you more food.
Exactly. More food, treated me better, you know, stopped cursing me, stopped spitting on me.
Wow. That's the Trump W of the week right there.
That's an incredible Trump W, and it's not surprising, right? Like, I'm not surprised at all to hear that. It makes perfect sense. It matches up with logic and reason. You know, makes perfect sense. And I'm sure, you know, all around the world. It's one thing I really learned studying international relations, foreign policy, traveling a lot, is just how much the rest of the world kind of Everything is about the American election.
They will pivot,
all around the world.
They will pivot off of America.
Everything they do, everything these other countries do, the timing of when they do things, it's all around the American presidential election. And you know, they often say, like, right when there's a change of administration is usually one of the most dangerous times. And I even mentioned that a couple months ago in terms of, hey, this is the time period sort of during the transition, you know, right after Trump takes office. That time, that's when other countries like China and Russia may want to test out the new administration or may want to do something during the transition because of strategic reasons. But the fact that we're sort of through that and we're past that and nothing really bad has happened, I think kind of shows you a lot of countries around the world have the same fear that Hamas has that led to that sound quote right there, which is why you're not seeing people testing Trump.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing, too? Here's this guy who's being held hostage, probably in an underground tunnel, by some of the worst terrorists out there. They're not feeding him. He's starving. He's worried if they're going to kill him at any moment. He doesn't know what happened to his family. He doesn't have any contact with the outside worlds. But these terrorists are talking to him, telling him how they wanted Kamala Harris to win, but Donald Trump won, and immediately he's not hungry anymore. And he's got light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, absolutely remarkable. And I deployed to Iraq with a guy, a soldier who, on a previous tour, he had guarded Saddam Hussein, and he told me about his conversations with Saddam Hussein. And so, man, I can just see it. I can hear it. You can, it's, wow.
Powerful. And that may be the best W we've talked about.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right, David, hey, thanks for the extra hour. He joined us in the 6 o'clock hour. So if you missed it, go back and check the Montana Talks podcast later today.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Is the global savings glut over? That's a question most of you might not be able to answer simply because it's the first time you've ever heard the phrase. Yet the pre-COVID string of years with very low interest rates were caused by an excess of savings around the world and the hearty appetite of investors for government debt. Both these enabled governments everywhere, and especially in the U.S., to borrow very cheaply. But there are increasing signs that this era is over. The dollar is getting weaker and the yield on new government bonds has pushed past 5%. It's not a panic, but it's a new reality that very few in leadership are acknowledging. It means that the cost of borrowing has gone up, and countries like the U.S. that are sailing into the future with budget deficits equaling 7% of GDP are highly exposed. Interest payments on debt are already approaching $1 trillion, exceeding what we spend on defense. When will we pay attention? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.